Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk. Today, it is Tuesday, the 2nd of September, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Let's get the show started. I want to remind you of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition 2025, open to junior and high school students across the archipelago. There'll be four winners selected, one from New Providence, one from Grand Bahama, one from San Salvador, and one from the rest of the family islands, or submissions from the rest of the family islands. To win the prize, you need two pieces of correct information, the government recording record, that's the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will, and the recorded date of Charles Farquharson's death. The recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. To play the game, you call the show. Let us know you want to play the game. We'll transfer you to the producer. You give the producer your information. And the organizers will contact you and let you know if you have won the prize. Again, the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition 2020. The numbers to call today, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. And of course, the text line, as always, powered by BTC. That's 422-GR96, 422-4796. Now, this morning, I wanted to go back to a conversation we were having about the consideration, the potential for the introduction of non-lethal or less than tools by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I wanted to talk about that a little bit, but when I looked at today's papers, I was like, oh boy, the things that we need to talk about. So let's get it started. There's lots to talk about. Front page of today's Guardian, the closure isn't there. 6 years later, Dorian's scars remain. 6 years after Hurricane Dorian made landfall in Abaco, Derek Dawkins, 54, does not know exactly what happened to his brother. Dawkins never saw his brother, Michael Dawkins Sr.'s body after the Montes departs of the island on September 1st, 2019. Derek Dawkins said his brother and his girlfriend were living in a coastal area and did not evacuate. His girlfriend, who survived the storm, said they attempted to save their house after the surge inundated it. As they were swimming, she said a log hit him on his head. Dawkins said his brother sank into the water, briefly resurfaced, before going under. We turn to page 7. Again, he was never seen by his loved ones. I encourage everyone to pick up a copy of today's Guardian and read this story. We, as individuals, we rely on the state mechanisms, whether at the constituency level, right, at the island level, at the national level, to organize activities to commemorate this awesome, I mean, it was quite an event, this awesome event. It is too large for individuals to take on by themselves. There's just too much grief for us to expect that individuals, particularly Abaconians, will have the strength, the space, the resources to organize national level commemoration events. And in the absence of said events, I'm going to say, listen, pick up this article today and read it and reread it again, and then ask your family to sit with you. Right? You sit together as a group and you and talk about how you feel about it. And then from there, talk about the importance of your family having a hurricane plan. Because we live in this hurricane zone, we live in this hurricane archipelago, and we rarely talk about hurricanes. I mean, I think I was advised through the media that there was a nationwide activity organized for today. I think government offices at 9:30 had a moment of silence. And we say thank you to everyone that participated in that. I mean, did we say to the state, please, please, can you take these things seriously? Because that's why we elected you, to take these things seriously. To the people of Abaco, listen, we say we are here with you. We are here with you. I got a text here. Oh. The text here says, could we do a show about the growing consolidation of power in politics to the detriment of poor people? Oh, I'd love to. I will. Let's talk about the mechanisms that exist to manage conflicts of interest when conflicts arise, in particular issues around money and wealth. Okay, yeah, I'm for that. Definitely. Texter, thank you. Another story. I'm going to touch on this story because I read, I'm going to go to the phone line, and after the phone line, we're going to read this headline, PLP Blasts Tribune Story. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Hey, quick question, right? Mm-hmm. I'll commute this morning in the school traffic. Mine is getting horrible. Mm-hmm. I had to go smoke a cigarette. I don't even smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I almost got a nicotine problem going to traffic this morning.
Well, okay, so for me, myself, roughly 45 minutes to get from home to the Guardian every morning. When school goes back in, it's actually easier for me to get to work late, you know, a little later in the morning, because that traffic is typically gone. When school was closed, you find that cars were leaving home later in the morning. I tell you what, though, of course it's going to be horrible because they don't have a traffic management plan. That's just it. They don't have a traffic management plan, which is why one accident, right, or two police officers doing road checks in the most ineffective and inconvenient space, right, that they then exacerbate what is already a traffic problem, right? I'm speaking particularly to that, what has become a regular road check, just immediately of Church Street, right? Church Street is between Shirley Street and Bay Street, Auto Mall, St. Matthews, to Sydney Bridge, right? Right there. So they're doing the road check like at the western end of the Standard Services Plaza, right there. So the only places that when they pull the car over, the only place the car have to turn through is the corner on the side by Auto Mall to go there. One morning, traffic was back up all the way past Fox Hill Road.
Hey, question.
Yeah.
You're a brave number. You can ask him for me if he could extend summer vacation for student month.
Listen.
Just so I could get over the school traffic.
You don't worry about that. Because it appears from the headlines that they still need another month to get the schools ready.
You realize I start making up crazy words?
But this is good and bad.
In morning times in traffic, I actually making up crazy words.
Yeah. See, then here's what comes. We don't actually have, at this point, we don't have too many cars on the road. We're reaching that point, but we're not there yet.
I think next week can be worse, though. Monday. Oh, my gosh. Monday can be horrible. I just have this feeling. I think I should take Monday off.
But how the children can get to work to school if you take the day off?
Yeah. I think that wasn't properly thought of.
Yeah. They need us committed to this thing as well. And they need us committed to finding solutions. Now, that's our part, to finding solutions to these problems. Right? Thank you very much, caller. Time that drivers spend on the road, unnecessary time that drivers spend on the road is eating into our economic capacity. But I tell you, we don't have too many cars on the road yet. The number of cars isn't the problem. It's what people are doing with the cars that's the problem. Right? Shirley Street has two lanes heading in the same direction. Boom. That the people who want to go a little slower than the rate of speed of traffic would all be in one lane, traveling at the same speed, right? Right? Like you could see there are people who are making 30 miles an hour. You are making 15 miles an hour, and you want to do that next to another car that's making 15 miles an hour. What you ought to do is either speed up or slow down and merge into the lane that's moving at the rate of speed that you want to move at. And then this morning on Shirley Street, there were lots of cars behind me, but in front of me, there weren't so many cars, but we were not moving. Why were we not moving? Well, one of the vehicles, the person had a 6 or 8 car gap between them and the vehicle in front of them. They were eating their breakfast with no concern of the impact on the flow of traffic. See, the education stories and the traffic stories, they go together, you know. Because what are critical reasoning skills? They are things that you're supposed to learn in school. I must read this next story. PLP Blasts Tribune story. And I'm reading it because I read the story in yesterday's Tribune, top of the fold. This one is on the bottom of the fold today. The Progressive Liberal Party is blasted as, quote, misleading, close quotes, and defamatory, quote, close quotes. The Tribune's front page headline reporting Carlos Leader's unsubstantiated claim that he funneled $150,000 a month to former Prime Minister Sir Lyndon Pindling through businessman Everett Bannister. In a statement, the PLP said, quote, incorrect and misleading, close quotes, insisting Leader never claimed in the interview that he handed money directly to Sir Lyndon. Full stop. I don't know. I mean, okay. Line of the first of September 2025 on the front page of the Tribune, quote, I paid Pindling $150,000 per month, close quotes, is incorrect and misleading. It is also salacious. However, because the law does not recognize defamation of the deceased, that outrageous allegation can be printed without legal consequences, close quotes, the party said. Quote, at no point does the story say that the drug trafficker ever paid anything to Sir Lyndon. It is all after the fact, third party hearsay, nothing more than, quote, he said, she said, close quotes, close the broader quotes. The party added, quote, the larger point, the information is manifestly unreliable. The accusations cannot be tested because all the individuals against whom the allegations are made are deceased. They cannot defend themselves. Sir Lyndon is dead. Everett Bannister is dead. Gorman Bannister's allegations therefore reflect cowardice, not truth-telling, close quotes. The PLP urged readers to treat leaders' comments as worthless. Quote, criminals often make self-serving statements. Newspapers, in turn, often print whatever will sell. These allegations belong exactly where all other untested claims belong, in the garbage bin of history, close quotes. Leader's remarks in a YouTube interview promoting his new book revived a scandal that defined Bahamian politics in the 1980s. A Royal Commission of Inquiry in 1985 found that between 1977 and 1983, household spending exceeded his salary eightfold, with more than $2.8 million in unexplained deposits to his accounts. U.S. prosecutors later alleged that millions of dollars in cartel bribes flowed through the Bahamas during the same period and considered charging Salinden on conspiracy grounds, though he was never indicted. Everett Bannister was repeatedly named in U.S. reporting at the time as a conduit for cartel money, and his son testified in American court that he accompanied him to Norman's Key to collect payments from Leader. End of article. Again, PLP says Leader's claims are, quote, nothing more than third-party hearsay, close quotes. That's the end of that story in today's Tribune. That story. I don't know if it's the end of our story, but if we're ever going to be able to tell our story with everything being so politically expedient. That is the article, PLP Blast Tribune story, the follow-up to the article paid Pindling $150,000 per month. Let's go to the phone line. If we may. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. I have a question. Whatever happened to our moral compass? You don't think that morally, as a country, as a people, we've now reached an all-time low when it comes to the point that now we're now beating up and questioning the dead? You don't think you have a problem?
Okay, first of all, I don't think this is beating up the dead. See, here's what I'm saying. To suggest that this is beating up the dead is to ask people to wipe their brains. This is not an unreasonable conversation. The thing here is, right, that they're saying that the claims are unsubstantiated. Right? This is not... See, so two things. Politically exposed people, despite the fact that we only sort of like codified the phrase recently, they still existed before we codified the phrase, you know. And politically exposed people thus must remember that they will be subject to a degree of scrutiny that the ordinary citizen will not be subject to.
Yeah, but Mr. is not here to even...
Oh, no. See, there are many other allegations that I would say to you, I agree, this must be treated in a different manner. Right? But what y'all are asking people to do is to pretend like certain things did not happen.
We don't know if it happened.
We know that Leader was here. You telling me the boy wasn't here?
Yeah, he was here.
You telling me the things that he was charged and found guilty of didn't happen?
Oh, yeah, hell yeah, it happened.
And so all I'm saying to you is that this conversation is reasonable and that politically exposed people must expect a degree of scrutiny and exposure, which is why they're called politically exposed people.
You have to admit, it's a little distasteful. The man dead. He ain't living.
And so what?
Does anyone have any questions? Okay, go
the impact,
him.
The impact of his work. Hold on. The impact of his work still. We still have to live with that. I don't understand what y'all want younger Bahamians to do. Right? See, because we cannot examine the state of the police force right now if we do not acknowledge that what happened in the 70s and 80s. See, because guess what? Has anybody shown you any evidence that what happened in the 80s has been eradicated entirely?
Because
I could show you the evidence that it hasn't. And by evidence, I mean our op button, right? Operation Bahamas and Turks and Caicos. So if we know that what happened in the 80s, the 70s, the 80s, could possibly still be happening today, why is it the conversation must die? The only thing that we need is a properly constructed, curated, and framed space to have the conversation in. Unfortunately, it appears as though those who are best suited to construct the space for the national level don't want to talk about anything, anything at all. The boy dead, everything dead, just let it dead.
Ms. Crane, let me ask a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared to go down this rabbit hole? I'm just asking this.
What is the rabbit hole? Hold on, tell me, what is the rabbit hole?
What is the rabbit hole?
Yeah, tell me.
You don't know what this might even uncover. You know, embarrassing, if you keep on going down this rabbit hole, could you go for the country? Think about it.
I want to continue this conversation with you, but I got other callers, right?
Yes, ma'am.
But are we not embarrassed now?
We could be more embarrassed. You don't know the implications this could lead to the country. Nationally embarrassed.
If you don't know what people are saying about the Bahamas already,
they talk about Jesus.
I got other callers. I only end in it because I got other callers, okay? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning. Good morning, caller. See what happened? First caller, we missed the other callers. Okay, here's what I'm saying. What are we supposed to do? We supposed to just been born yesterday? Here's a text. Producer, let's prep the caller. There's a taxi breakfast in the car. What's the issue? What law is being broken? That's why you're not supposed to have a driver's license, texter. It's called driving without due care and attention. And it could probably construct it to reckless, right? Not just negligent, but reckless. Because you know you're not supposed to be eating your breakfast while you... See what I'm talking about, the average? I want you all to know, this text is committed to this line of thought, right? Ain't nothing wrong with eating your breakfast while you're supposed to be driving the car. Good morning, caller.
Hey.
Hi, how you doing?
Quite well.
Good, thank you.
On the average thing?
Yeah.
Our library is still closed at 5 o'clock.
Do they open? Where the library? I mean, how many we have?
Couple, but they close at 5 o'clock.
Yes,
and they're not really open on the weekends.
As well as the public transportation dies off at about 5:30. So even if a library were open after, how could the young children get there and get back home?
If the Minister of Education is really serious about this, the average problem,
mm-hmm.
You know, there are certain foundational things that have to be in place for our children, you know, because, you know, folks like Ms. Coakley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, about this Tribune story.
Mm-hmm.
What was printed in the Tribune this morning?
So
is substantiated by a commission of inquiry. Mm. Okay. Basically, and then the minority report by Bishop Gomez left the door open for us to really continue to have this conversation. Now, I came to, well, I lost about half my friends in the 80s
mm-hmm.
to that problem. You know, I agree with not talking bad about the dead and stuff, you know, but if the dead had historical stuff to be able to deal with, we have to deal with it, you know, or else it's going to haunt us until we pass on and become dead ourselves,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then when these memories become forgotten, people be doing things and understand, well, why I doing this, you know, why I am in this habit, you know. We pass on a generational curse if we're not careful in how we deal with our past. Now, I understand that there are a lot of persons right now, you know, stable businessmen who made their money in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And that's the next topic, you know, that folks don't want to talk about.
I mean, the question, would the country look and operate the way it does infrastructurally, right? with both like sort of physical infrastructure and institutional infrastructure. Would we look through without what happened in the 80s?
No, but one thing we don't consider, right? Okay, in a book by Colin Hughes called Race and Politics in the Bahamas, he made a submission that the original was for us to, for every Bahamian. You know, we were to be employees by the government, basically. A kind of socialism thing, you know. But to recognize that even though this is 2025, we are operating in a neo-colonial framework that only can produce certain things.
Yes.
You know, and the framework will dictate what the result is going to be. So, if we have to put that mindset aside, we had coming into 1973 and see what it takes for this country to stand on its own, thinking in terms of what our citizens need and not what some outside influences are trying to press on us, you know.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, our leaders still every year, now I'm going to say this until I can't say it no more. We vote for these fellas, but every 5 years they still pledge allegiance to the
kingdom,
king, the queen,
the crown, the
heirs and successors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't it? Next election, I can go there and flip in. I could do something, man.
Thank you.
Okay, bye bye.
All right, thank you very much for that insightful contribution from someone who, unlike me, lived through that, was an adult, a conscious adult during that era. Let's go to the next caller quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning. Turn down your radio for me.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
All right. Turn the TV down. You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good morning to your listeners. Good morning to your listeners.
Morning on their behalf.
Yeah. Poppy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I could touch a little bit of foreign, a little bit on you, or you just want to talk about what the Tribune to talk about, that touchy situation.
I give you 2 minutes with what's going on in foreign.
I got to try to do it quicker than that.
Mm-hmm.
I think tomorrow is the 3rd of September. I think our election in Jamaica.
Yeah, and they had an election either yesterday or today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Who went over there?
They haven't sorted out the results yet, or at least they haven't. I don't think they've been published yet.
Complications or some problems?
No. They just imagine we 400,000 people. They got plenty of people in Guyana, and they're huge, and they have exterior, right? Like we have an archipelagic exterior.
Mm-hmm.
They have what they call interior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have these districts that are way out in the rural areas,
mm-hmm.
and some of them you can only get to by boat, and then some of them like you move from a big boat to a small boat to a smaller boat. Yeah.
They space out.
Yeah.
Something like the Bahamas. So you fall. I don't know if you're falling up Jamaica to get the PNP and the JLP.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, like, which one of them more similar to the FNM or the PLP over here in the Bahamas? And
I can't.
A lot of them talking and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
This will be the second time the JLP. I mean, sorry, the third time if the wholeness is his name.
Yeah, they'll be if they win, it'll be three straight.
Yeah, they'll be three straight. And when they win the second time, that was surprising because I thought they would have lose, knowing the pandemic and everybody complaining, being locked down and stuff like that.
Maybe
if he could have won, maybe Minnis would have won, but Minnis didn't win, especially when Brave Davis was the leader of the opposition.
No, I don't think Minnis.
Prime Minister.
I don't.
I was thinking maybe it sounded like this Golden or something like that. He's gonna Marky G or something like that. Mark Golden.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like he's gonna be the next prime minister over there. But I could wait till tomorrow to see. I wonder, like, how you used to explain and break things down to us with the empathy and stuff like that. I don't know if you follow it, but like, I think everyone must hear that news where the young man gone in the Catholic Church and shoot up the church and not in
the USA.
Shoot up the church with being witness and stuff and killed two little children. And now listening to the news, they saying he's a trans. And I kind of confused of what I hear in reports in my ears, what I hear and coming from the news, It sounded like he had a problem either with Jesus or the way how he was made, or he wasn't comfortable in his skin.
Well, let me
talk about him doing certain things. I'll hang up and listen, right? They talk about him doing certain things and putting a couple things on the internet before he did the shooting. What was his problem, Ms. Green? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
I can tell you I don't know what his problem is, but I will do a follow-up. I can do a follow-up, and I talk about that a bit, just a little segment about that tomorrow. About today, callers, I come in right now. What I wanted to talk about today was the Commissioner Shanta Knowles revealing that they are considering implementation of less than lethal tools on the police force, and that we should expect that to begin maybe the beginning of September, right? And so I want to talk about that, and that's a bit of a connection, but we can get back to that. Good morning, caller. Caller, turn your radio down. Good morning. I could hear you, and I could hear myself. There you go. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Ms. Green, since we are going down in the past with things, right, how about us talking about Harris Taylor's death and your quick dissolvement of the Rainbow Coalition? When are we going to talk about that?
Caller, when Hal Taylor died,
and your quick disbandment of the Rainbow Coalition,
there's no connection whatsoever. Seems like you know more than I do. There's no connection whatsoever. In fact, Rainbow Alliance of the Bahamas had been disbanded long before Hal Taylor's death as a multi-person organization. Seems like you know far more about Hal Taylor's death than I do. That's wild. That's absolutely wild. Wow. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Hi, good, thank you. How you doing?
Yeah, don't let them PLPs try to get on you. That's a big-time PLP who asked you that question.
Because, listen, I was listening to how they was trying to disguise their voice.
Hey, and then tell him it's a big-time prime minister, a former prime minister.
I got you.
Give that right.
Yeah, because you know, I know. It's scary. It was so scary as the only out gay rights advocate at the time that was so concerned not knowing what was happening in the country, she shipped me out the country. That's how scary it was. And you know what it is for a big, biggity woman like me to just say, yes, mommy. Oh, boy. Thank you, caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning to you. Yes, ma'am.
How you do?
Good. In line with what I think I hear that's going on.
Uh-huh.
There's a passage in Exodus that talks about that God warns that the iniquity of the fathers may be visited upon the children and third and fourth generation down the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't think it's about punishing innocent descendants just arbitrarily.
Right.
I think it's about the pattern of behavior. When the children repeat the sins of their parents, they inherit, you know, not just the consequences, but the spiritual and moral weight of those choices. So if, like you say, Gemma was the father of the nation and he was involved in sinful activities and then people come behind to pattern, then here we are today, maybe.
Well,
I'm just, you know, I'm not calling anybody's names, even though I could, but we're not going down there. And you can't blame slavery, colonialism, or anything on this. The fact of the matter is we make our own choices. And if I'm going to be a corrupt leader, and all leaders that follow me find that pattern of behavior, well, here we are today. Okay.
If these things are sort of codified in convention or custom.
Yeah. It almost feels like it's the right thing to do, to take bribes, you know, to take shortcuts. Man, listen, I want to do my driver's test, but I can't pass it. But then, you know what? I have a friend who knows a friend. And for $400, you could have your driver's license. It's a pattern of behavior that we have been stuck with, where we don't want to really follow the laws.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be doomed if we continue electing people who want to continue that pattern of behavior.
Yeah.
I haven't called anybody name, but you know I won't do that bad, right?
Oh, boy. So do I, but I can call somebody name right now. Thank you very much, caller, for the next call. See, because when I was saying, how is it that Ramsey going to go to jail for accepting a bribe, for making a decision that Ramsey can't make. That's why every year I invite y'all to 1621 Avenue, Watson Boulevard, so we could have a conference and talk about it. Because Ramsey is found guilty of taking a bribe that Ramsey can't make. Boy, look here. That's our one and only Wendy, right, producer? I know. That's Wendy. I know Wendy when I hear her. She is a real big deal, though. And look here, even if this ain't Wendy, Wendy is a real deal. Don't y'all ever forget it. Anyway, callers, I'm sorry to make you hold. We go into a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to get straight. I'm waiting for you to say when and where to
go. You got a rude awakening coming. Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school. He could do Junior in.
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson Pen. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do, all you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read with
3477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
You try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job all. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible. Work with the brightest. And leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I'm sorry, callers. I hope you could have held on through the break. But you didn't. So let's get to the text line. Ms. Green, it's a day late for the government to remember. Another text. Ms. Green, there's a love song. There's a song, a love song, a song, love is like driving. But hopefully we don't drive like we love. Oh, I see, because that's it right there. Texter, you're right on the point, right? It is a relationship. You're interacting with other vehicles on the road. We drive the same way we interact with people, callously, with no real regard for their presence or the rules that bound our interaction in this public space. Producer, let's prep the next caller. The Tribune story was substantiated by a commission that we paid for. The minority report by Archbishop Gomez also informs us that we did not resolve what happened in the 70s and 80s. Good morning, caller.
Erin, I had a question about the same story you're talking about on the front.
Okay.
You said that's the Tribune.
Yeah.
They print that.
Yes.
And their owner their owner want a nomination from the PLP? And they know, and their owner, the owner of the Tribune want a nomination from the PLP?
One of the principals,
the Karen
principals at the Tribune, it appears, has participated in the aspirant candidate modular training and has, I think, announced publicly that they are vying for the Michael seat. Yes. That's wild, isn't it? It's very interesting. Very interesting. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thanks. I can remember the 70s and 80s when Sir Lyndon said that on their national airways, on ZNS, that everyone could become millionaires overnight. Why would he make a statement like that? And everyone know at that time the drugs was very happening all over the Bahamas. So that shows something going wrong. And then, you know, I have a problem with these political parties. These politicians need to be straightforward and speak truth to power. Don't hide behind one another. Stand up for what you believe in. Go by your constitution. I think Bahamian people need to get involved and see about their country before it go down to the dogs. You need to stand up as a Bahamian and express yourself what you know is right from your good conscience and your good heart. Do what is right, no matter who it offends. Stand up for the truth.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much, ma'am. So, I wasn't there, but it seems it's possible that Lincoln Bain pick up this gimmick from Sir Lyndon. Did Sir Lyndon really tell y'all all us could be millionaires? And if he told y'all, why y'all didn't tell me that? Why are you sitting here? Because I got his other message. I got the message about volunteerism and contributing to the nation that created an environment for you as an individual to be great. I got all of those messages. Trust me, I tell you about incidentally bucking into Pinland in Mangrove Key when I was 16, doing vacation Bible school with the Anglican Church. When he realized we were all unpaid volunteers, he took us on a tour. We had breakfast with him. He took us on a tour of South Andres and put us up for the night in Las Palmas and said, listen, young people who volunteer especially to support other young people, they deserve to be recognized. I get all of them messages. I didn't get the we could all be millionaires message. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Sorry, I missed you, caller. Okay, here's the text. Aaron, I have to comment on the library issue. Why is it that the University of the Bahamas library closes at 7 p.m., but their classes come out at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m.? Does this make any sense? No, it doesn't make. And if you're a law student, oh, God forbid, you need to be in that library until midnight every night. See what I'm saying? There are disconnects. There are structural disconnects. Remember when I tell you all I may have dropped out of COB four times? But if they have me back, I will gladly go back and drop out again. These are the sorts of things. What you mean you are the premier, if not free institution in the country, and your library closed before the sun go down in the summer? Another text. I'm with the caller. We might as well vote for King Charles. He might be a better MP than these candidates. Here's one. Aaron, great show, but to be decent, I suppose to boycott this station and stop wasting my text. And since, oh boy, that's not what happened. Text. I know you listening. That's not what happened. Texas says, but are you saying without the drug era, we wouldn't be a corrupt nation? Full of drug dealing, human trafficking, politrickers dancing on our heads in children's graves? Because I thought you said drug dealers in Haitian water deserve death. I never said the drug dealers in Haitian water deserve death. What I said was you cannot make a comparison from Haitian migrants fleeing conflict in Haiti, being found on the water and being received as refugees or potential asylum seekers. Individuals who leave their home territory and are found in a foreign jurisdiction suspected of trafficking while there's an international conflict. Right? They were bringing Kenyan soldiers over. You cannot compare the two things. That's what I said. I never said anybody deserved death. I don't know why y'all keep putting these things into the atmosphere. And see, I don't know if we wouldn't be a corrupt nation because, to be honest with you, we haven't had the conversation at all. Is it the nature of these islands? Does the nature of the geography we exist in dictate primarily who we are going to be or how we're going to do things? A. B. We know that many other countries consider what the Glaws, a narco war, a war on drugs, was actually an imperialist a response to an imperialist economic strategy to maintain the underdevelopment of countries in the region. Some people regard Pinling, some regard this story as true and then regard Pinling as a hero. But y'all don't want to talk about things. You just are focused on mashing down anything that is not politically expedient in the moment. And that is destroying us. Okay, I got you hear that music playing? Minutes left. Thank you for playing that music, producers. I run through this headline. Court ordered haircut draws Rasta's anger. House of Rastafari leaders have condemned a Supreme Court ruling that left a convicted man's dreadlocks subject to prison barbers. Leaders say the decision reflects a long-standing pattern of cultural violation and constitutional neglect. It wasn't just about Rastas. Today it's us. Tomorrow it could be you, said Jamaiki Bow. Quote, our locks are part of our liberty, our identity. They should be protected under the Constitution. When the courts themselves don't uphold that, we have a serious problem, close quotes. Prosecutor Rashid Edgecombe countered that Ferguson's dreadlocks were wild, not faith. Justice Fitzpatrick noted the probation report referenced marijuana, but did not record Rastafarian worship or affiliation with a recognized group. He said the challenge was verifying such claims and concluded decisions on prisoners' hair rest with prison officials, not the court. Rastafarian leaders said that stance undermines basic rights. They pointed to Article 22 of the Constitution guarantees freedom of religion and to earlier rulings that upheld the right of prisoners to keep their locks. I just was saying, I wanted to read through that a little bit because I thought that the grounds they were going to use is like security. Right? There's a security issue involved here, but we're going to have to delve into that a bit further. Thank you, producer. Thank you to callers and the texters. You guys, Guardian Radio AM next, and I promise you, you're going to have a good time. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Although the road is long, but I'm on my way, baby.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.